This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Earlier this year, some industry people were upset about a halt on new permits on liquefied natural gas exports. But that doesn't mean everything is being shut down.
The U.S. is currently the largest global LNG exporter worldwide. We export about 86 million tons of liquefied natural gas.
That story and more coming up this West Virginia Morning. Support for West Virginia Morning is proudly provided by Luke Frazier. The U.S. has seen a huge build-out in plants using fossil fuels to make plastics over the last decade. A new report finds those plants routinely break environmental laws, even as they receive major subsidies from taxpayers. The Allegheny Front's Reed Frazier reports Shell's ethane cracker in Beaver County was given over $1 billion in tax breaks, yet violated its air pollution permit even before opening.
Rebecca Quigley's favorite spot in her house is a wraparound deck with a sweeping view of the town of Vanport. But these days, the view is dominated by something on the other side of the Ohio River, the Shell ethane cracker.
At nighttime, we call it Gotham City because it lights up the sky and is, it just looks like a great big huge city over there.
The cracker was Pennsylvania's largest construction project since World War II. It's part of a wave of plants built to take advantage of plentiful natural gas from America's fracking boom. It turns ethane, a component of natural gas, into tiny plastic pellets, which are used to make products from plastic packaging to medical devices. But since it's opened, it's been a problem for Quigley. She's seen flaring, black smoke, and one time, a sweet odor permeating the valley.
There was a sweet odor of antifreeze or syrup smell odor that was in the air.
The plant may push Quigley and her husband out of Beaver County. They're planning on moving when he retires in 3 years. Quigley says part of her worries are concerns about air pollution and long-term health effects.
You know, obviously there's violations going on, so yeah, it does concern me. Not for myself as much as it does for, you know, my grandkids or my kids or my community.
Alexandra Shakovich of the Environmental Integrity Project says it's right for communities near these plants to worry.
They're major emitters of greenhouse gases and climate warming pollutants, as well as major emitters of pollutants that are dangerous to human health, toxic and hazardous air pollutants.
Shakovich is lead author of a new report that found many of the plastics plants built in the last decade, mostly on the Gulf Coast, are now breaking environmental laws, even as they receive billions in tax breaks.
We found that 94% of the plants that we looked at reported accidents or incidents, so-called emissions events. These are illegal upsets that occurred when a plant malfunctions, when there's a fire, an explosion.
The Shell plant in Beaver County is a case in point. It was built with a $1.65 billion tax credit from the state. Regulators have found the plant violated clean air laws 19 times since beginning operations 2 years ago and have fined it over $10 million since then. The plant has released harmful levels of volatile organic compounds, chemicals that contribute to asthma and other respiratory diseases, as well as benzene, a known carcinogen. Shell didn't respond to requests for comment on the Environmental Integrity Project's report, but some in the region say the tax credits were money well spent.
Shell cracker plant was one of the best things that happened to Steamfitters Local 449.
Ken Broadbent is business manager for the local Steamfitters Union in Pittsburgh. Union members from around the country made six figures building the plant. He says the region needed the plant and the jobs that came with it. And he believes the tax credits helped bring Shell's ethane cracker to the state.
Ohio and West Virginia and Pennsylvania were in the running for the cracker in a tri-state area, and we were able to beat them by attracting them with better tax credits. That's how the game's played, whether I like it or not.
Broadbent thinks Shell's air violations are part of the plant getting up and running and that they'll eventually go away. But Shakovich says communities shouldn't have to choose between jobs and the environment. She says the public shouldn't be subsidizing polluting facilities.
We think if companies can't obey the law, they shouldn't be getting taxpayer money. We would advocate for, in the future, that taxpayer subsidies be tied to environmental compliance.
So far, Pennsylvania has not imposed additional environmental requirements for companies receiving state subsidies. The state recently passed a new tax credit to attract fertilizer plants. The tax credit has employment and investment requirements, but none for complying with environmental laws. For the Allegheny Front, I'm Reed Frazier.
This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. It's 7:49. Partly sunny today, a slight chance of rain or snow flurries today. High temperatures in the 30s and low 40s. Tonight, a chance of light snow, lows in the 20s. Partly sunny tomorrow with highs in the 40s and 50s. Support for WVPB is provided by the West Virginia Land Trust, protecting special places for local communities. Details at wvlandtrust.org. A recent decision by the Biden administration to suspend permitting for new export terminals for liquefied natural gas has drawn criticism from West Virginia lawmakers. To hear what impact the decision has on the U.S. LNG exports, Curtis Tate spoke with Sam Reynolds and Anna Maria Haller Margarowitz of the Institute for Energy Economics and Financial Analysis.
What does the pause on permitting for new LNG export terminals really mean?
Just for perspective, the U.S. is currently the largest global LNG exporter worldwide. We export about 86 million tons of liquefied natural gas a year. That's more than Qatar and Australia, which are the next two largest. The U.S. currently has five projects under construction to export more LNG that would nearly double that amount over the remainder of the decade. Now, the U.S. pause on permitting does not affect any of the existing or under construction projects. So that's really important for consumers around the world to know that the U.S. is still on pace to nearly double its export capacity, and it's already the largest worldwide, right? Now, in Asia, the U.S.'s largest customers are Japan and South Korea. And a lot of these new export facilities in the U.S. are justified under the impression that our customers need more of this LNG. In fact, if you look at these two largest buyers, Japan and South Korea, both are reducing their natural gas and LNG demand, and actually quite dramatically. So in Japan, LNG exports peaked in 2014 and have declined ever since. And they actually fell 8% last year, which is more than double the rate of decline in previous years, right? Japan is upping its nuclear and renewables capacity and actually doesn't want any more of this very expensive fuel that is LNG. It's opting for cheaper resources. And South Korea is very similar, right? LNG demand fell 4% last year as it brings on cheaper energy sources like renewables and nuclear.
What about Europe? Didn't Putin's invasion of Ukraine cause European countries to become more reliant on U.S. LNG?
U.S. was thinking, Europe is in a big crisis and we really need to step in to supply all that LNG that they need. At the same time, Europe was working on their strategies to reduce gas demand. So what we see today at the beginning of 2024 is a different reality than the one happened at the beginning of 2022. So what we have been saying in Europe, and I think that's also the concern for the U.S., is that we need to analyze today's conditions. Yeah. For example, the gas demand in Europe reduced 20% in the last 2 years. Nobody could expect that. Okay, we could agree in certain instances there's some part of gas demand destruction. Okay, part of it. But great majority of it has been implementation of energy efficiency measures on gas demand management, on renewables. It's like the mentality in Europe has changed now. Yeah.
Can countries turn to other sources for LNG?
Where is demand actually increasing? And the largest sources of growth for this product are in South Asia, India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, and Southeast Asia, Vietnam, Philippines, Thailand, Singapore. Now, these are much more price sensitive countries. They don't have the same amount of wealth that Europe, Japan, and South Korea have to spend on this relatively expensive product that is US LNG. And in fact, our main competitors for supplying these markets are Qatar and Australia, which are much cheaper sources of supply to this region. So they're going to be making an economic decision about where to buy LNG. And actually, since the pause, we've seen a spate of deals announced with Qatar to buy more of their LNG. So it's not necessarily that these countries are turning away from the U.S. specifically because of the Biden pause, but there is an economic calculation to be made. Qatari LNG can often come in 5 to 6 times cheaper than U.S. LNG, which has to be shipped all the way around the world.
Also, I want to add something here. When the crisis started in Europe, Europe realized the dangers of depending so much on one supplier. That was the main problem that Europe was facing. So I don't think they are going to allow the same thing to happen. Yeah, they are saying we need diversification of sources. So they will be up to a point where they will say, that's it, we need to diversify. We cannot accept more U.S. LNG because we need to have more sources supplying the gas and the LNG to Europe. Yeah. So that also comes into place that Europe is very, had a lot of pressure of not repeating the mistakes of the past.
Has the Russia-Ukraine war accelerated the adoption of renewables and energy efficiency in Europe?
Yes, I can say that. I can say that. And for example, energy efficiency, before we're not talking about that topic. And suddenly, look, in September of 2022, I was in Madrid for an event, and it was hot, and they had like a law that they couldn't have the air cons. They had to do them up to a certain level because they didn't want to use more energy. Yeah. We also got lots of talk here, like, you know, the thermostats in the winter, put them just 1 degree less, you know. So they started to think about, like, us as consumers, we could also do something to reduce a little bit our consumption. And it was not talked like that before. Now it was very much talked. And yes, definitely they decided, you know what, we need to speed up the renewables. We need to reduce all the problems with the bureaucracy and all that to allow those projects to come into operation. So they accelerated that. I can say that they accelerated that, yeah.
That was Anna Maria Haller, Mark Arowitz, and Sam Reynolds of the Institute for Energy, Economics, and Financial Analysis, speaking with Curtis Tate about LNG exports. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Bill Lynch, Brianna Heaney, Chris Schultz, Curtis Tate, Emily Rice, Eric Douglas, Jack Walker, Liz McCormick, and Randy Yowie. Eric Douglas is our news director, and he produced today's show. I'm your host, Teresa Wills. This is West Virginia Morning.